do a lot, and I think we should be valued as that and all the hard work that we put in and on the ground and pass blocking and all those type of things, and you know, I think we should be valued more.
Buffalo Bills running back James Cook. That was from Mandatory Minicamp talking about running backs do a lot, and that's not incorrect at all. It is a bit of a James Cook day. I wouldn't say negatively at all. I know we've kind of, I don't want to say downplayed him. It can be a little weird to talk about Cook because he is a very good player. They just don't use him like you would a top five running back. On him, though, we've mentioned ESPN. They're releasing their top 10 players at certain positions list. They started with running backs today. James Cook came in at number 8. And we also got the NFL top 10 players of 2025 list that's been coming out slowly but steadily. And landing in at number 89 is James Cook. So it's a bit of a Cook day, which is nice for him. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is a beautiful Monday following, hopefully, what was a long and fruitful weekend for the 4th of July.
I've got a hot take.
Oh, here we go.
It was too hot.
It did get a little hot. I will concur with
get
that.
Get it? Hot take? I'll see myself out.
I will concur with that. I mentioned I was in Toronto yesterday. I'm not even going to know.
The
not
daggers even, Joshua is staring into me it. Right now.
I'm a big dad joke guy, but that was too much.
That was too much?
It was a little too on the nose?
Just a bit.
It also didn't help you looked him dead in the eyes as you said it and finished it.
No, I stared at you.
Well, then you looked right over at him.
I did look at him, but I looked back over at him, and there were daggers.
Yep. But it was a little hot. Walking around Toronto yesterday, the sun was out. It was 88 degrees. And let me tell you, my family's reaction when we walked into the Rogers Center and we saw that the dome was closed, the vibes increased exponentially. It was absurd. It was like, oh, wait a second. It's not just going to be ice cold water on our necks the whole day. We can have an adult beverage. Let's go. Let's go, boys. Let's go set it up. And it stayed closed the rest of the day. I have been there, though, when the dome is opened. The last time we went, it was a rainy day, and then the rain went away, and they slowly opened it for like two innings. It was awesome to watch
right.
as it happened. But it was a little toasty. It was a little toasty.
It was a little toasty. Like, it was too toasty.
But ultimately, a good three-day weekend, very much needed. Again, I'm coming in here on a Monday in a happy, good attitude.
Like, I'm probably never leaving this area because, like, yesterday was too hot.
Yeah, in Buffalo, 88 hits you, and you're like, whew.
I will never end up being one of those
snowbirds. We were in a heat advisory warning, weren't we?
Yeah,
in Western
bit.
New York, yeah. So, I mean, like, it's not going to get that all the time.
Yeah, but still, you'd think I'd want more.
No, you've been pretty dead set on you like winter and fall. And
I do.
Yeah.
This is not
a surprising take from
you. I'm weird. Why do people that are friends with me talk to me?
I don't know. I mean, people live in Canada and they love it. I mean, for the weather.
Zachary!
No, I mean, like, can't, like.
I am also a winter guy.
Yeah, see?
Like, I totally.
People in the North absolutely love winter.
An entire country just because they're north of us.
No, but like, you will deal with cold winters and you love it up there. Good for you. People in Minnesota, they're like, can't wait for ice fishing season. I'm not that person. I'm not going to fault you for it. I think it's a little weird, but I get it. Also going to be too hot. I get it.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's also because of like, it's easier to do the job here though, too.
Mm-hmm.
More than anything, but also I guess it's that my pasty complexion also favors the not summertime.
Yeah, me and Joe Kelly have talked about it. We walk out in the sun for 5 minutes and we've tanned at least a little bit.
That's the operative word, tan.
Yeah.
Me and Captain Redbeard over here, we ain't tanning.
No.
Actually, I got a nice tan on my recent vacation.
I guess I'll shut up. At least about you. Me, I don't tan.
Josh has finally gotten there. He's like,
good for you, though.
I burn once, and then I tan.
Good for you.
I think it's a lot of people, though, too. You'll go through the burn, and then all of a sudden, you're back to where you need to be. You tanned up. You're fine. I think that's a lot of people. Where me and Joe, very rarely are we going to burn.
Yeah, no. Me, I don't tan. I burn and reset.
Mm-hmm. I burn and reset.
That's what happens, okay? Like, there's no in between. I have option A, lobster, or option B, what I always am.
At least you're consistent.
There's this cool thing called sunscreen.
Still going to burn. Option just won't have, like,
B.
lasting effects.
No, it's option B.
No, you just put on enough
tan.
Where you don't burn.
So, again, that's option B, what I always am.
Well.
Pasty.
Sometimes you can put on sunscreen in the right way.
But then I'm still not tanning, Josh. That's the point of this.
Okay. I'm tanning lotion. How about that? That's the same thing as...
He'll just burn.
I'll just burn. I'm telling you.
His skin don't allow for this.
We need to conduct some experiments here.
I've been around the sun for 36 years. I know my skin at this point.
He's conducted experiments just by living. It's not going to happen.
It's been trial by error, okay? A lot of error. Have you ever walked through an airport with sunburnt feet? I don't think so.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's not ideal.
Trial by error.
Sunburning the top of your feet is probably the worst.
That's a tough one. That's a tough one.
I am a scientist within my own body. I know what I can and cannot do.
Yeah, the sunburn on the feet, that's a tough one.
Science is fun, except for when you deal with it with pain.
803-0550, the number to call. We talked a little Sabres today, if you did miss it. Some arbitration talk came up this weekend. Not even arbitration talk, we just know what's happening. Bo Byram and Connor Timmins. Byram, though, he's in a situation he can pick what he wants, a 1 year or 2 year deal. Likely, though, he will pick 2 years to allow himself to walk to unrestricted free agency. That could open up the avenue for a trade, because now that he's heading to arbitration, he cannot be offer sheeted. We'll see how that kind of unfolds. Derek, you've mentioned it. You do think there's a good possibility this is the roster, minus a few prospects making the opening night roster, coming up, what have you. This is likely the roster they're going to go in with. I think there's still a possibility they can make a trade. I just don't think it's going to be a landmark one. Although, you could argue with Byram's expectation of being a number one defenseman, number one power play minutes, all that stuff, a team like St. Louis, who's been very much connected to the trade talks, will pay him $8.5, $9 million a year. That would... You would also get there that this is going to be a big trade.
You're telling me that Darren Ferris isn't going to do everything he can to get his client to get to UFA? Come on.
Any agent should do that. If you're not going to sign the big deal with the team, get him to
Ferris
UFA as fast as possible.
Ferris is notorious for playing almost too much of hardball.
Mm-hmm.
Most infamously now north of the border within Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
If I say the word Darren Ferris to a Maple Leafs fan, I'm pretty sure I'm going to see potentially a vein pop out of a forehead. So, yeah, no, I'm not all that surprised that Darren Ferris is going to play hardball with the Sabres here.
Very unsurprising. Very, as the same with Derek Skin, consistent. You know what you're going to get. He's going to get burnt, and Darren Ferris is going to get his client to UFA. And that is what people are paid for. We've also been talking—
I don't get paid for that.
Well, that's fair. Because I mentioned doing a show outside, and you're like, absolutely not. So that's right.
No. You also said, Josh, you weren't here for this. He said
on
the roof.
Yeah. Do a show outside
on
the roof.
Do a show on the roof.
Yeah.
What kind of psychotic behavior is that?
I mean, because it's going to be harder for us to convince our boss to, send us out somewhere.
No.
So instead it'll be, hey, we'll just, right above us, we'll just go a few floors up.
Eh.
Yeah,
now, it depends on the day.
The weather was nicer to where it's not going to kill you going outside there. If it's 88 plus, right. No.
Sunny
I'm not
and 75, though.
Let's go, baby.
Okay, but on the roof, it's not going to feel like that.
Yeah.
The roof.
You could set up a nice little tent for sitting
there
in the commercial
breaks. Place where they put solar panels? Let's go there.
They do put solar panels on a lot of things nowadays, though. It's not just roofs.
Fields and stuff like that. Yeah.
It's the primary place that they put solar panels on.
I don't know. But solar farms, they're big open fields.
Yeah. Okay, ready? No shade.
You put a tent.
No shade.
And you say, hey, guys, during the break, you can go sit in the tent.
Have a little parasail right above me.
Yeah.
Just hang out.
They make those beach tents where you stake down two sides and then the wind blows it open and you go sit inside of it.
At least Callie was on my side, okay?
No.
No, I'm a big outdoor, when we went outside for class back in elementary school, high school.
But also, what's
those days
day.
Rocked.
But also, what's the point of us going on the roof? If you send us out on
an easier sell. It's an easier sell.
No, ready?
Random Tuesday.
People could come watch. You could sit in the parking lot
on the roof?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you going to see? You're looking up 90 degrees and you're seeing us on the roof.
Why don't you sit far away?
What do I do? Do I get a t-shirt can and launch some down there at the spectators?
Sure.
Now we're talking.
Merch.
Actually, I just sold myself on it.
Yep, now we're talking. Thank you.
I just gave myself an excuse for a t-shirt can and I'm a threat to society.
Thank you. They don't fire that hard.
I saw Marty Brown accidentally unload one on someone's chest at a trade deadline years ago.
Well,
on TSN, it was the
you aim high and you let it just kind of the gravity take it. It does a big rainbow and it just falls down nice.
I need whoever is Sabretooth to try shooting it across the ice next year. Just it'll make it.
See
do it.
See what happens.
Just do it.
Just do it.
Why not? It'll make it. You shoot it up to the 300s. It'll make it.
At the very least, be in the position to where if you shoot it across this, it will land amongst the players on the bench.
Yes. Yeah. Shoot it at the bench.
So that there's less error for it getting onto the ice.
Yeah, and then they can just pick it up and throw it into the crowd.
Exactly.
Yeah. There you go. Also talking Bills today, players that potentially by this time next year could wind up on ESPN's top 10 list. I think you could also just argue then the NFL's top 100 list that's also coming out today. But the first thing that came out, Jeremy Fowler's piece at ESPN, he's starting it. The position first up was running backs, and James Cook found himself at number 8. We've kind of mainly just kept this to Bills. We haven't really talked about the list itself, though, Derek. Starting off at number 10 is Alvin Kamara. Number 9, Joe Mixon. 8, as we mentioned, James Cook. 7, Jonathan Taylor. 6, Josh Jacobs with Green Bay. He absolutely had a big year for them after leaving the Raiders. 5, Christian McCaffrey.
I mean, it makes sense. It's more of a projection sort of thing.
It is.
But also,
he scares me now.
It's not the scaring thing. It's the, can you just stop having the worst luck ever?
His injuries have been rough.
But if you look at how he was playing before that, he was helping San Fran stay alive.
I think inarguably he had his best year in 23, his first yes. full year in San Francisco. 272 rushing attempts, just under 1,500 rushing yards, 14 touchdowns. And then receiving-wise, he had 67 catches, 564 yards, and 7 touchdowns. I mean, he was getting MVP shouts as a 27-year-old running back. He was great. And he had some injury issues early in his career as well, 20 and 21.
It's the talent thing.
It's the talent. Yeah. It's if he's healthy, we know how good he's going to be. He's only also 29 years old. I don't know why it's felt like McCaffrey's been in the league forever and that he should be like 31, 32. Him just being 29 and also knowing full well how that team has changed up, the fact that they did pay Brock Purdy, he is going to have a big year if San Francisco is to be successful. So we'll see about that. Number 4, Bijan Robinson. I've mentioned a number of times on air.
That needs to be there.
I think he's one of the most underrated running backs right now in football purely because he's on the Falcons. They have not been good. Last year on 304 carries, he had over 1,400 yards and 14 touchdowns just running the ball. He's been great for them. They've added more weapons. I think if Michael Penix hits, you're looking at a guy that inarguably, I think by week 10, is going to be just a dude that everyone's talking about. Because you'll have him on your fantasy team, you'll be loving every second of it, and then the team will be winning, and so we'll all be waiting kind of for the playoff moments, the primetime games will have more meaning, that kind of stuff. But after last season, I think that's the right spot. Number 3, Jahmyr Gibbs, a pick that I will never forget now, because doing draft coverage, Derek, you were with us, and Nate Geary was hosting, we all kind of laughed at the Lions for going Gibbs. He was picked the same year as Bijan Robinson, picked in the top 10 as well. And it just, to us at the time, didn't make any sense. Since he's entered the league, he has been incredible for them.
I don't remember laughing at that pick, though.
You didn't?
No.
I know me and Nate did then, at least.
Was that 23? Because I wasn't here.
Then that was just me and Nate then that yeah. we were laughing at it.
Yeah. I didn't laugh at that pick. I actually thought, okay, that's like, I don't know why they took a running back there.
Mm-hmm.
Because you had DeAndre Swift and you let him go. Because that's when he goes to Philly.
That's right.
But that clearly has shown to be the right decision.
Yeah. Last year, 250 rushing attempts, just over 1,400 yards, 16 touchdowns, and then receiving 52 catches, 517 yards, and 4 touchdowns. I will tell you, and this is why I'm very happy, I'm okay with Cook being at number 8. I've already mentioned guys like Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs, who are sort of kind of built in the same mold as Cook, putting up way more efficient years. They're touching the ball more. They are clear-cut, dynamic playmakers. I don't think any Bills fan would argue that Bijan and Gibbs are not, in fact, better than Cook.
You know what's surprising, though, about this list?
Hmm.
Because when you get to number 2 and number 1, we already know who those
Unsurprising. Are. Unsurprising. It's Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley, yes.
I'm surprised Kyron Williams isn't on this list. I feel like he should be.
Do we have the honorable mentions? Honorable mentions? Bucky Irving? Oh, wow.
He's on the also receiving votes.
We have honorable mentions. Bucky Irving, great rookie year. Aaron Jones, who's really bad in close yardage situations.
Yeah.
Devon Achane, speedster, explosive playmaker. Breece Hall, he's on the Jets. And
James, he's on the Jets.
And James Conner, who just has been also one of those models of consistency, gets touchdowns, gets yards, but won't be like top 10 in most categories.
Right.
Other guys also receiving votes, by the way, David Montgomery, Brian Robinson Jr., Chuba Hubbard, DeAndre Swift, and Kenneth Walker. Kyren Williams is absolutely somebody. I think that's a good shout by you because he's somebody.
Give that man his flowers. He's taking, 83% of the snaps in the backfield? That's a huge workload.
I was going to say, you talk about a guy getting the workload. That's Kyren Williams. 316 rushing attempts last year, literally just under 1,300 yards, 1,299, 14 touchdowns. He also, in terms of receptions, 34 for 182. But in terms of snap count, he is on the field almost 95% of the time.
But also, if James Cook is worthy of a top 10 addition here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that he is worthy of the conversation. How's Kyren Williams not even an honorable mention when for the last 2 years, he's gone over 1,100 yards in each year and 12 touchdowns?
Yeah.
The thing that you look at probably that kept him out of it, in terms of the top 10, at least for me, would be, he's put the ball on the turf a lot last year.
Mm-hmm.
I put the ball on the ground 5 times. He lost 3 of them.
Kyren Williams, by the way, it was not 95, it was 85. He was at 86.7% of their offensive snap count.
Jeez, it's still a lot in this day and age.
A lot.
For bell cow running backs, that's a lot to do. It's also, he does not do a lot within the passing game.
No, he's very much, he
is a running back that produces. And I think that that's really something that we need to look at of why is he not in that top 10, let alone, I did not know it was even worse than that he's not.
I think it might be efficiency. His yards per attempt is 4.1.
Still.
With how much last he's being used, it's unsurprising. No, the 2024, his yards per attempt was 4.1. His career is 4.5.
Okay, yeah, but I'm saying the year prior, though, it was 5. So are we just going to go ahead and ignore all this? Because it should be something where you're if you're gearing up for it, I'm not ignoring the 7th leading rusher in the National Football League. But apparently they are.
Yeah, but I mean, if we're looking at Cook, who finished 8, with far less carries, he's almost a full yard more per average at 4.9 this year. And I think that might be it. We give Kyren Williams a lot of credit for how much he is on the field for their plays, but that's sort of the same
could
conversation.
Could you imagine, though, if they gave
Cook
him a break, much more effective he is?
Right, right. But what we're seeing now is he's not really super efficient. He does a lot for them.
He's not super efficient because the team had no other option last year.
That could be argued, but the opposite could be argued of that's just kind of who he is. He's getting these numbers because of the workload. If the workload was less, he'd be kind of just, he's a fine running back. He's
good.
But
also, say it's less workload. Say it's about, 250 carries?
Mm-hmm.
You're probably looking more at 2023's numbers, which are averaging 5 yards a touch,
mm-hmm.
ho-hum another 12 touchdowns.
Yep. I think 2023 had a better shout than last year.
Yes,
Because I think it showed that once the workload went up, it went down. Because that's Cook's whole thing holding him back.
Right.
Is what's it going to look like when the workload goes up? And I think it might actually be someone like a Kyren Williams
showing.
But
to avoid him even in the honorable mentions.
I know, just as a receiving votes guy.
Effectively top 15 on the list.
Yeah, that's tough.
Does sound a little criminal to me.
The Bucky Irving one's also pretty good, honorable mention. Although, again, you see number 10, Alvin Kamara, and you're like, he's basically the Saints offense. I can understand it.
So, again,
he's the same argument. He's the Saints offense. I can understand it. He was top 10.
If you're using the argument for Kamara.
Scrimmage yards last year.
Yeah. If you're using the argument for Kamara, you should use it for Williams.
Yeah.
So, I'm nitpicking at one player in particular there, but who's definitely curious. I'm like, why is he not in this top 10?
I just think, if he was just honorable mention, it'd be like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, I think we're good here.
It is the also receiving votes. He's even further down the list where
you're getting not to a top 15.
I was to say, you're getting to the point where you're just here's the 20 running backs, which what even list is that, I guess? Top 10 at least is worth it. Top 20, it's okay.
Top 15 even is these are the guys that made it out. They're on the outside looking in, but they're worth mentioning. Yeah, I'm sorry, but Kyren Williams not being on there is an interesting oversight to me.
803.
Also, Joe Mixon, I don't really think that Mixon had himself particularly a great season last year. He was solid.
He's just always there from
and
what I know.
And I think the solid consistency with him is always going to be a factor.
Well, now I brought up yards per attempt for Kyron Williams. It's the exact same. 4.1. I mean, he just objectively had a worse season.
Yeah.
Objectively had a worse season than Kyron Williams.
Thank you.
It's less rushing attempts, but also he played two less games
mm-hmm.
than Kyron Williams. Yeah. 12.99, 14 touchdowns in 16 games and 14 games mixed.
Well, 12.99 is still pretty impressive, yeah, though, considering. Yeah.
But then in two less games, he's just over 1,000 yards and 11 touchdowns. That's for Mixon and at 4.1. Yeah, that's might be more towards the line of like name recognition because also he doesn't do a ton in the receiving. Well, 36 catches last year in the receiving game. What was Kyron Williams? 34. Yeah, Williams had it's objectively a better season.
Game. It's a passing game and the lack that they use him in.
Well, it's for both. Mixon only had 36 catches, and Williams had 34 for much less yardage, but it's how they used him in the passing game compared to how Mixon was used in Houston.
Like I said, it's all fascinating. You can argue a good amount of players no matter what, but that one's still really, really weird to me.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. Also, some cool news in college football we haven't gotten to yet. We'll get to that after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. On a beautiful Monday morning, Zach Jones, Derek Kramer hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. If you did miss it, college football, there was a bit of somewhat locally exciting news over the weekend as five-star wide receiver Calvin Russell committed to Syracuse.
Yoy.
And per 24/7 Sports, this is the app I traditionally use for college recruiting and keeping up with the recruiting rankings and all that stuff. He would be considered the third highest recruit in the history of Syracuse football and the highest rated recruit for the Orange since 2000. If he were to put pen to paper on National Signing Day, Fran Brown, the head coach going into his second year at Syracuse, already came in with very much a heralded reputation as a recruiter per 24/7 Sports. He was ranked as the best recruiter in 2023. He proved that last year when he was able to land Kyle McCord out of Ohio State, got him to transfer to Syracuse, led a wonderful passing attack. They were 10-3 last year, including wins over a ranked Miami team. I believe they beat Miami. They did win the Holiday Bowl over Washington State. They had a very, very impressive year last year in the first year of Fran Brown. And I will say locally, Derek, that's something, and I've seen a lot of people say it now too, in the era where, yes, they beat the number six Miami, Florida, and then Washington State. I knew I was right on that. But on this, and I do want to mention this because it is something now, you know, we don't see it a lot in the pros. And I think college, we should start seeing it more. If you don't bring juice year one in the transfer portal era,
you're probably never bringing juice.
Yep, and it's okay to move on. Look at locally, Buffalo and Syracuse. Buffalo went 9-4 last year, a bowl win. They're putting up recruiting ranking records for them personally, not MAC recruiting records, but for them personally, they look like this next class might be one of the best they've ever put up. In 2026, they're bringing in a four-star edge rusher from Ohio of all places, which is heavily dominated by obviously Ohio State, but also teams like Toledo, who has been a power in the MAC for decades. UB goes in there, gets a four-star edge rusher, one of their best recruits ever. And then Syracuse, they bring in Fran Brown. And what does he do? He brings in their best recruit since 2000, their third best ever. Now let's see if he puts pen to paper, and that's for both of them, puts pen to paper and gets going. But to be fair, both programs seem to be trending in the right direction. And it took 1 year with their coaches to come in and completely flip how the programs were seen in their respective conferences.
And especially UB, who has had a couple of years of just really down times.
And it wasn't where, like they were winning two games, but I know the last head coach, Mo Lundquist, the feeling around him was not good at all.
It was not a good vibe. It was very much UB became another like forgotten scene once again, mm-hmm. Not just like locally, but within the MAC entirely. It just turned into one of these things of like, okay, yeah, UB is here too. So what? And for Lembo to show up, again, you could not have asked for a better season from them when it came to a first year for somebody to attack. Man, for it to now get to you win the Bahama Bowl, and it's not in the Bahamas next year.
That's right. That's very much right.
But you were a threat to make the MAC conference championship game.
Yeah, they were there literally to the end.
Right to the end. So you're hanging around. You go out on top with a great bowl win. And now you have an opportunity to become a mainstay with this kind of recruiting class in the MAC and be able to try to put your stamp on this organization, or not organization, on this program.
You know how I feel about it. I think we're very close to being able to call them organizations. Right now, but, we still call them programs, but we're getting close.
I obviously would imagine with how college football goes, you're not going to have Pete Lembo here for very long.
I don't want to say anything yet because I've gotten burned so many times.
The amount of times we've had promising coaches within UB.
Yeah, and then they leave.
They leave for greener pastures because that's a mid-major's destiny, so to say.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we had a great time talking with Becky Burke this past year, right?
Yep. WNIT, and yeah, she's off to Arizona.
Yeah, like we are not going to be doing that this time around.
Yeah, I'm not going to stamp my name to anything.
No, it's just...
In my heart of hearts, it does feel like Lembo is somebody that kind of knows I'm a MAC coach. I'm not... I shouldn't go to the Big Ten or the ACC.
Oh, but if you
get... But also, if you
get
win,
that offer, it's because you've also earned it. Mm-hmm. That's the big point of this, is that it's hard work rewarded. And it's not with the program... You're not dancing with the one that brought you here, but... You're still going to a dance. And now, it's not dance with the one who brought you here. It's now you get the pretty one that's staring at you across the room and says, I really like your vibe.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, like everything that you've, like, you know, it's the dream. I mean, it's
the dream.
It very much becomes the dream. I will tell you, though, and it was the same with Becky Burke, and we ultimately did get a championship locally here. It was the WNIT, and it was a wonderful run, and it was drama filled. It was great. By the end of it, I mean, Alumni Arena was packed. BetMGM has the odds for the MAC football championship. Toledo leads the way at plus 250. Buffalo's in second at plus 300, and that's with questions at quarterback because CJ Agbonna is out. They brought in a transfer, Robertson, I believe is his last name, from UConn, but their rushing attack should be awesome. They bring in a lot of guys from last year, a very, very veteran-led defense. Sean Dolak out. Red Murdoch, though, who was with him in most statistical categories last year, like just finishing second to his first, he comes back, and they had a good recruiting class going into this year as well. I mean, I've said it on air on the nightcap. I've said it off air a lot, too. I'm genuinely ecstatic for UB football. I know college football doesn't get the same rah-rah that pros do. And to be fair—
And especially here, it's a Bills city,
well, and
first and foremost.
Sales brought this up, too, especially if you talk MAC football. Buffalo's the only one that has a pro team in these cities. In the cities that all these teams are in, they're college towns. Buffalo's the one that's not, quote-unquote. But I'll tell you right now, I went to that homecoming game. A game they ultimately lost— But I went last year. I had a ball. And now that I've seen what Lembo's building, I think they've been great on social media. There is a lot of that recruiting buzz going on.
You know what's more fascinating?
I'm going as early as I can to a game because I don't really want to go for the cold weather stuff because I like watching Maction at home on a Tuesday night. I don't need to go to the game.
That's right. The Tuesday nights are a big thing about that. Like my first thought was I got to get out of a Saturday shift.
Yeah, no. There's
like,
Tuesday
I got to get out
here,
of a
baby.
Saturday show. And it's like, nope.
Tuesday nights.
You can have the Tuesday night action, baby. And hey, guess what? You've probably got nothing going on.
There you go. There you go.
What's going to challenge me? A Sabres game?
What? And I don't think you necessarily have to pick between them. I'll be honest. Like in terms of locally, Bills are the one I'm most excited for. They're in a Super Bowl window. They're constantly competing. Of course, I'm right there. But I will tell you, and I've said it enough on air. People know I'm a college football junkie. And while I'm a diehard Texas fan, I grew up going to UB football games. I grew up going to Joe Licata playing quarterback and Bo Oliver and the Khalil Mack years, James Starks years. Name it. Those are the years I went, and I had a blast going. And last year was the first time I went in like maybe 10 years. And in part is because I was getting the juice for going to college games. I was going to a Texas game later that year. But when they were good a few years ago with Lance Leipold, that was awesome. I wish they could have added a MAC championship.
Right.
Namely, because I think if they would have added a MAC championship, I think there's a really good chance that track in the middle of the field is not there.
Yeah.
I think you would have gotten stadium renovations if they had at least won one MAC championship. I mean that seriously. If you added something like that, that's
It's never too late.
It's never too late. You have to have some success. And I think if they win a MAC championship this year with Lembo, they're ranked second going into the season with questions at quarterback. If they even have a solid quarterback play, that line kind of tells me they
even
might actually jump over Toledo there.
I wouldn't even say solid.
Attack's going to be amazing.
Steady. This isn't the NFL. You don't have to always have spread offenses or elite passing attacks to win.
Right.
Especially in a mid-major.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, you can get by with
steady, consistent quarterbacking.
And their week one game down the road could be a really good test. It's at Minnesota, a Big Ten team, a good team. P.J. Fleck still there, coming over from Western Michigan. He's been there for a while, built a really good program at Western Michigan before going to Minnesota. That game will be on national TV, Fox Sports 1. That could be a really good test. They could lose that game, but the way they run the ball with their veteran defense, I am so curious what that line will look like about a week before that game. August 28th, by the way, will be that game. So it's right around the Bills preseason when that's wrapping up. That is a game I want to see the line. UB will not be favored. But if they're in single digits, I think they could absolutely pull the upset on Minnesota. But it's a team I am genuinely looking forward to keeping up on. I'll be honest. And funny enough, it was kind of the same way I was with Texas. I mean, I've been a diehard Texas fan most of my life. And same with UB. I fell in love with those basketball teams. And I mentioned the Drew Willey and James Starks and Naaman Roosevelt teams. I fell in love with them as well. But you get into that monotonous rhythm where you're just like, all right, there's no vibes here, there's no juice. And I was sort of with there with UB, but same with Texas when they hired Steve Sarkisian, when they hired Pete Lembo. And yet very early on in those tenures, it did feel different. Lembo was much easier because literally first year results were different. Sark, it took a little while. But Lembo, right away, I mean, me and Josh were able to talk with him right when he was hired, when he had to hit the recruiting trail and he just had landed, the vibes felt different. I thought he was going to be kind of like an older, you know, old school ball coach, a little bit of a curmudgeon, probably hates that he's on the air. Instead, he came in with a ton of personality. He's a movie guy. He's got so much energy. And I think that's carried on to how they are with their social media team and stuff like that. And now within year two, they're plus 300 to win the MAC championship, only behind Toledo, who's been a MAC power forever, and it's plus 250 to plus 300. They're right there.
Also, this is just me saying this sort of thing. If you are a football fan that loves to get to stadiums, well, first of all, tickets to go to Minnesota are like $25.
Giddy up.
If you're willing to take that drive. Okay, right? So it's a nice, cheap little ticket that you can get to go to the UB Minnesota opener. I also think that if you are a huge football fan, you need to go to at least one major conference stadium at least once in your life. I went to a Purdue football game against Michigan. Watched them get the brakes beaten off of them by Denard Robinson.
Yeah.
At Purdue.
I have not heard that name in a long time.
That's how long ago it was.
Yeah.
But, man, the scene was still awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to a Purdue football game.
Yeah, it's not Ohio State. It's not Michigan, Denard Robinson.
It's not even Minnesota.
Yeah, to a certain extent. Yeah, if you went to a Purdue basketball game, maybe different, but you're right.
Yes,
yeah.
But the vibe was still awesome. The stadium is still very good.
Mm-hmm.
It's fresh looking. Get to a major conference stadium to see the money that gets thrown around by a conference.
Yeah, it's kind of wild.
It's actually kind of wild. But also, you look at Minnesota Stadium, though, like aesthetically pleasing.
Yes. I think a lot of college football stadiums actually are. They don't do too much. A lot of the buildings are also older. That helps.
Yes. They do like to preserve a lot of history.
Perfect example. Big House, Michigan.
Right.
There's not like extra levels. You pop out of the entrances and you either go up or down. That's it. There's 110,000 people in there and that's all. Like there's no extra, juice to that. That's what it is. And I love that. You can also go to Syracuse. They're a little bit further down in the ACC championship odds. They are in a much bigger conference. Their team's a bit ahead of them. But with Fran Brown is building 10-3 last year and he's building some momentum on the recruiting trail, I think that is absolutely a program to watch because that's not something – it's maybe the opposite. with UB. Fran Brown, you might be able to keep if you want to put money into football. And to be fair, Syracuse has been trying to do that for years. It's why they left the Big East to go to ACC. They wanted to be more of a football power, and there is a bit of an opening there. I don't think Bill Belichick will be all that good at North Carolina, and the ACC for years has been run by one of two teams, Florida State or Clemson, and for the last 10 years it's been Clemson. And that's going to continue. Clemson, by the way, is a monster this year.
You know
what's
interesting? Like, I doubt that there's a lot of, like, USC fans that live in the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it's so much more manageable to get to one of those games now that they're in the Big Ten.
Oh, yeah. Because now you can go to, like, Penn State and you be able to see USC at Penn State.
Yes.
Which used to be, like, exclusive for a special Rose Bowl season where they both made it.
Yeah. It's very much like it's an atypical type of matchup.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to see a prestigious team like that, well, guess what? Hey, USC's in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
How long is that going to be there for? Also, an excuse to go to Penn State?
I almost went to a game in college, and I wish I did, especially after my experience going to Texas. And even I've been to a Syracuse game in the last 3 years.
Did I mention it because I looked at the Purdue schedule saying, okay, who's going to beat the hell out of the Boilermakers this year? And I'm like, oh, USC. They're hosting them on September 13th.
That is so weird that – Southern California is going to be in West Lafayette, Indiana. That
or
makes no sense. To
I
me.
Was like, okay, hey, like maybe if I wanted to take a trip, is there a winnable game in there? I don't know. Probably not. They went winless last year, outside of the FCS team that they faced in week one.
Who really counts that if you're a major program?
But would that stop me from asking my buddy to be like, hey, you want to go watch them against Ball State for the first week because tickets are as low as $8?
Tickets could be very cheap. Most expensive thing
Sabres
could be
bargain
gas.
Hunting bin right here. That's the quality I'm looking at.
There you go. I already mentioned it. If you want to throw some money down on these guys and you're not in New York State because you can't bet on college teams in New York State if you're in New York State, I believe, I think overall. But Syracuse plus 5,000 to win the ACC. They're tied with NC State and Pittsburgh in those odds. Well, for the MAC championship, Buffalo is second in the MAC at plus 300, just behind Toledo at plus 250. College football. Just right around the corner, starting in August. They start a few weeks before the NFL. 803-0550, the number two call. Sabres Live coming up at the top of the hour. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here as we get you ready for Sabres Live coming up at the top of the hour. If you did miss it, Jeremy Fowler. Top 10 series is beginning over on ESPN. It is free to read. Top 10 running backs to start off that series, and James Cook finds himself on the list at number 8. And then in the NFL Top 100 players, James Cook had another nice award for himself. He comes in at number 89 in what is going to be a massive season for the future of his career. I mean, if Cook – we mentioned it. I mean, if Cook puts up a similar season, I think there's a good chance this is it for him in Buffalo.
Right.
I'm not saying that with any sort of sadness or irritation that he might leave. Go get your money, man. I have no issues with that. A team will pay you more. And Derek, we've talked about it a lot when we've mentioned his usage rates. I think it's somewhat of a negative. But to be fair, him and his agent could sell that to a different team that, hey, what would I be if I got 260 carries compared to the around 200 that is usually what he hits. He hit, what was it? I think it was 200 and then 207 or something like that. He's been right around there. Sorry, 237 then 207. So he's been right around there. So for him, he can go, what if I hit 260? You know, what am I at then kind of deal?
Yeah, and part of this is ultimately the question, like how much more effective could he be if he has more touches, for example? Or is he just who he is and that it doesn't matter how many touches you give him, he's still going to be the same player. But again, it's a nice James Cook day, though.
I wouldn't say this has been negative for him at all.
No, it's been a pretty good day. The Fowler list with the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not Fowler's list. It was asking coaches, executives, and scouts. And then the players, they seem to agree as well. Though I have my qualms with the NFL Top 100. I think
we all do.
I think we all do. I think it jumped the shark. We need to stop. But, you know, I understand why the NFL Network does this.
Remember the full TV show? Remember that? It was an hour long each episode for like 10 weeks.
Uh-huh.
Oh, boy. That was a whole thing.
But also, you then get to see the hilarious rankings that the players have, and you're like, oh, you guys don't know ball either. Okay.
It's all about names, baby. It's all about name recognition.
It's all about names.
I can understand that, though. That's going to do it for me and Derek. We'll be back on for Wednesday. Sal Capaccio will be back on tomorrow for the Extra Point Show. We'll be back on Wednesday. Until then, have a great rest of your day. Sabres Live coming up next. This is WGR.
Go Blue Jays.